Well, I wanted to talk to you again about the cross. We could talk about the cross, and we could have those of you who are in this audience talk about the cross for a long, 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 long time, and we would not have exhausted it. I would like for us to know who we are, what we have, and what we're able to do with that, knowing who you are. I talk about my childhood, I guess maybe sometimes to ad nauseum to some of us, but I realize that God's hand has been on me, on you as well, but it's been on me, and sometimes I like to share those experiences with you to show you how you've overcome. Sometimes we don't seem to know that we are not going to be. We are overcomers. And that's why we overcome, because we are that. And we are that in Jesus. The great overcomer, I like to call Jesus, it lives in us. He lives in us. And so let's be fortified with the truth, by the truth. Let's be fortified, be strengthened. The scripture says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so as you are intertwined on the Lord, you are becoming stronger every day. It's amazing that as we grow older physically, we may become a bit weaker, but spiritually we are mighty and strong. Amen. 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 As a boy, I remember some of the old folks. We called them old folks, but not to their faces. But we would say the old folks. But the old folks would say things, and they would send chills down your spine. I don't know if you, maybe you didn't grow up in that atmosphere, but that's how it was as I grew up. I want to talk about the cross a bit, because I think that sometimes we just have not looked at the cross as we should, and we want to embrace the cross. It is a painful journey, the cross, but it is so worthwhile. I said on Sunday that the cross demands obedience. And it's not requesting, it demands it. And that, so the cross in our lives, Jesus' cross, as it were, we have embraced that cross. It demands obedience. The cross also, I said, demands sacrifice. You cannot walk out of the life that Jesus has prescribed without sacrifice. It's an impossibility. So the cross demands sacrifice. I think that is one of the things that we hate most about our journey is sacrifice, the things we go through, the pain we suffer. So we have sacrificial living. So many of us don't like that. I don't think I'm particularly crazy about it. But it's sacrificial living. But the more you and I sacrifice, the more we realize that it is a part of God's plan for us. And so to sacrificial living, or the word sacrificial, is designed to be used. That's what it means, is you're designed to be used or destroyed in fulfilling a particular function or purpose. So what God does is he takes away all that we are, and that we might embrace and become who he is. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, where Paul tells us, he shows us that Christ Jesus is the power of God, and he is the wisdom of God. So I would like for all of us to arm ourselves to embrace Jesus in a way that we have not embraced him. That is, put our, as it were, our arms around him as he's embracing us. We want to embrace him. And when we embrace him, we embrace his cross. Verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." So if you were to tell an unregenerate person about the cross, they'd think, "You're crazy." And so it's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, I don't think I've backslidden from my position of eternal salvation. But he says those of us who are being saved, what he is showing us is that salvation is immediate. When we come to God, it's immediate. It's eternal. But our souls, our mind, our will, our emotions, all that stuff that makes us up is a process. Saving is a process. And so God uses the things you and I go through to bring about the salvific promise of the soul. So then it's a process that God takes us through. I've said recently more than ever that time and space are not our enemy. They're not our enemy. If it were not for time and space, we would be on the throne of God enjoying eternity. But time and space have, as it were, kept us from being there, while God is now embedding in us himself, all of his reality. He's giving us his reality day by day. You see, I never would have thought I could get over some trials were it not for the fact that God kept my feet nailed to where I was, because I wanted to escape. I wanted to use faith as an escape clause, as something to avoid suffering. You know, in finance, tax avoidance is legal, but tax evasion is illegal. And so I think rather than having tried to practice suffering avoidance, I was trying to practice suffering evasion. And so, but you see here, he says that the cross is the power of God. And so in the cross, you see God destroying, dealing with the old humanity. So many of us want to keep our old humanity, but God won't allow that. And so the things that you and I are going through, God is saving our soul, not our spirit man. Our spirit man is fully saved, but God is saving the way us in our minds, our wills, our emotions. And Paul says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." I will destroy the wisdom. And so God does that through the cross. He asks the question that is through the cross, because the cross is a place of suffering. It's a place of suffering. How many times have I heard people say, believers say, good believers say, God doesn't want his people to suffer? Where did you ever get that? Where did you get that? Where did you find that in the scripture? You know, if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. And God wants us to go through something. The Bible says that Jesus is a merciful and faithful high priest, and he is made like us in every way that we are. He's all 100% human, but also we are being made like him. We have been made to be like him. We're being fashioned. So he suffered, we suffer. Paul tells us, this is a huge revelation, that I have been crucified with Christ. So these are huge things. So then you and I are to suffer with him. We're not praising suffering. I mean, when I say, oh, let's go suffer something. No, I'm not going in that direction. If I knew the suffering was in front of me, I'd turn around, you know. But it is inevitable that we will suffer. So let's arm ourselves to walk through it in the spirit and power of the cross, the life of Christ. So he says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer or the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And so he shows you because the world, through its wisdom, did not know God. So what God has done, he has displayed his wisdom, and a dying man on the cross can save you. You know, that's totally polar opposite to what we would believe. So this is what you and I must arm ourselves with and embrace as we go forward in this world. I find that, let me just say it without any apology or further explanation, that it is harder for me every day of my life, it is harder for me to accept any part of this world system. It is harder for me. It is harder for me. The more I know Jesus, the less I want to embrace anything in the world system, even what the world calls good. So this is what the scripture says. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now listen to Paul's explanation, verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And we have told you what some of those are. So it pleased God through the message preached to save those who believe. It makes absolutely no sense to my rational mind that you have to preach to somebody to get them to not go to hell. You know, that shows you how messed up we are without God. You got to say, come out of that lifestyle. You'll go to hell. I'm just preaching, sweating. So somebody will be saved. And somebody said, well, when they said that, I felt something. You know, yeah, you felt the pleading of the Holy Spirit. And so, but the message of a dying, bleeding man that can save you. And then the fact is that he bore our sins. He went into death. He left all that we were there. And he rose again, a new humanity. So Christianity is not about, you know, what most of us, or many of us rather, have made it about living well here and avoiding or evading suffering. It's not that. It's being a son of God revealed to lost mankind. Christianity is a reality that the world does not have. Christianity is not so much who I vote for, is who I am. That's what Christianity has to do with. Yeah. 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 And you ought to vote well, you know, as much as possible. So let's look at verse 22. It says, for Jews request a sign. We all have our strong points and our weak points as people groups. Jews request a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. So he didn't go to one or the other. He says, we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And so Paul is showing us that our lifestyle is antithetical to the world. I find a lot of Christians who are going along with the world, and I don't want to always talk about these negatives, but I think it's important to point them out, because if you saw your child walking toward a fire and their child was unaware, you wouldn't just say, well, I don't want to disturb them. You know, you're going to scream, you're going to grab them, you're going to do whatever, throw a rock at them, whatever, you know, to keep them out of that. And I think that's what you and I should do. See, the Corinthians were trying to live their Christian lives based on unsanctified common sense, just common sense. Well, if common sense will tell you, no, common sense cannot tell you what God demands. It does not tell you. Common sense tells you things of this world. That is that kind of common sense. But when God gives us a sense of himself, then we have the real common sense. So let's look at... I won't talk about the rich young ruler again. Let me go a little further. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 15. Galatians 6, 11 through 15. We're still talking about the cross of Christ. I find it just, sometimes, honestly, I found it baffling that God would choose that route, that God would give his son over to such cruel punishment. He had to. We were at the extreme in ungodliness, so God went to the extreme, as it were, in love and in justification. That's why Jesus died for us, because that was the death that we deserved. Now, because we know that, we should walk differently than we have ever walked. I want to just use scriptural examples, but I think we all have examples of walking with God, every one of us, where God methodically taught us who he is, and he showed us by the things we suffered, by the things we went through, where we were and then where he was. Because we are saved, that we're not in a precarious position, you know, an uncertainty. No, that's not. We are saved, but we are at the same time being saved. So we want to get that down. I do not believe that salvation is hanging in the balance, and I have to decide whether I am or not. Because if that is the case, we're going to have to throw out a whole lot of scriptures. We're just going to throw them out and just say they don't belong in the Bible, and then we'll be guilty of blasphemy and heresy. So the reality is that you and I must walk this out, and we must go through every hazard along the way. So Paul says in 11, Galatians 6:11, "See with what large letters I've written to you in my own hand, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh. These would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." And what Paul is saying here is that a lot of the Jews in that day were compelling people who believe in Jesus to be circumcised so they wouldn't cause any ruffles. They wouldn't cause any issues and problems. So I think if we were to take this literally, and I do, then that means that at some juncture in our walk with Jesus, when he gives us the green light, we're to say whatever he gives us to say and or do whatever he gives us to do. We're not to do it just because we found something in the Bible. We don't do that. We don't go hack people, you know. We don't do that, like, you know, the old hack-a-shack thing that the basketball players used to do. Because Shaq couldn't shoot free throws well, they just fouled him, you know. And so that's not the kind of Christianity we have. It's not like a hack-a-shack kind of a thing. These Jews didn't want to go through anything. So if Shaq didn't want to be hacked, he should have started making free throws. But he sure did make a lot of money. But anyway, they were compelling people to be circumcised so they wouldn't cause any ruffles. And they didn't want to cause any problems with those people who were perverting the gospel. The Pharisees were perverting the gospel. Jesus says, "You'll compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And then when you do, you make him twice the child of hell that you yourselves are." You know, by your man-made rules and regulations. So what I'm saying to all of us is let's come out from among them and let's be separate. Let's forget the old man-made stuff and let's do what Jesus says. I offer to you that many of us think we are and we are not. You know, have you ever been offended with the truth? Somebody told you the truth, you got mad about it? I mean, and that's what's happening today, the day in which we live. Christianity is not Americanism. It is not at all Europeanism. It is not Asian whatever. But it's not those things. It is otherworldly. It comes from God in heaven. God had a plan before he even created the earth. Before he created you, he had a plan, and we are to walk that plan out, and we are to look beyond the realms of this creation and look beyond that. Jesus promises to one day introduce us to the Father, and I'm excited about that introduction. Yes, I have been introduced, but I'm excited about what's going to happen because I'm not just going to understand it, grasp it with my spiritual mentality and understanding. I'm going to be there face to face right here in my personhood. I'm going to see God for myself. That's huge for you. And so whatever we go through, whatever we have to speak to, let's do that. But let's don't go with a red light on. God has a red light on some of us because we'd just be like some places we have been in the world where red lights don't mean anything. They don't mean anything. You know, you got a red light, people keep driving until somebody forced them to stop. Yeah, I remember, I won't talk about the countries, but I've been in several countries like that. And you know what the Christians do? They just follow suit. They don't try to change anything. And so in some nations, you're just breaking the law just like everybody else. But over here, we do it a different way. But we just go with the world. We go with the crowd. And so I believe God is saying, no, go with the cross. Not the crowd. Yeah. And so you're going to suffer. You'll be ostracized, you know, set aside. You'll be deemed irrelevant. But don't worry about that. So, but listen to what Paul says in verse 13. "For not even those who are circumcised keep the law." This is big stuff. When you read it, you've got to be blessed. Now, we have a situation happening in the Middle East right now. It's a terrible situation. I've talked about this here and there. But it's a terrible situation. I want you to know unequivocally that I am pro-Israel. I want you to know that unequivocally. But I am not necessarily pro a leader that would do some of the things our leaders are doing in Israel or in America or in any nation of the world. I am just not going to follow them into hell. I can't do that. No, no, I'm not going to do that because I've been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So I got to follow Jesus and not people into hell and not into all the dysfunction that we have. Come on, guys, brothers and sisters. There's so much dysfunction, and people of God are echoing it and shouting, yay, rah, rah. And if you can't see, we used to say it was a saying in my house, but I won't say it. I'll just get, but we would just say, speaking of a blind person, even so-and-so could see this, you know, a person who's blind. And so we don't want to do that. We have acted as though we are the tail, you know, and that we are being wagged by the things of this world. And that is not what God wants. God wants us to embrace the cross. We are difference makers. I don't go along to get along. No. No, I'm a difference maker. You're a difference maker. And when God gives you that green light, you say what God says. But just make sure you're not doing it on yellow and red. So he says, anyway, those who are circumcised don't even keep the law. He says, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid, he says, but God forbid. That I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, I love this, Galatians 6:14. He says, by whom, by Christ, the world has been crucified to me. The world has been destroyed to me, crucified to me, and I to the world. So I don't want the world, it's crucified to me, and the world doesn't want me. When the world loves you, yeah, that's like Foghorn, the Leghorn, when he ran off that house. He found that he wasn't on the roof anymore. Uh-oh. So that's the way it is. If the world loves you, that's a problem. And so oftentimes in Christianity, I'm just going to talk to you a little bit. Oftentimes in Christianity, if the world does not like one of our brothers or sisters, we don't like them either. Am I being real up in here? And so that's not what God is wanting. And I sense so strongly, at night I'm up talking to the Lord, so strongly that we have come to the kingdom for this time. And this is our hour. This is our time to be all that God has given us to be and not desire our own interests, but whatever interests God. So Paul goes on to say in verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. That's not a period there, but let's just stop there for a moment. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. What he's saying to us is that if you're a Jewish person right now, you don't have to quote-unquote become uncircumcised. I don't know how you could do it, but you don't become uncircumcised so that the Gentiles will be okay. And if you're a Gentile, you don't have to become circumcised so that all your Jewish friends will be okay. He says, for in Christ Jesus. Now, notice where it is. Didn't say in the church. It didn't say in your community, but in Christ Jesus. When you are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But what avails? A new creation. A new creation. For if anyone is in where? In Christ Jesus, what is he? He is a new creation. She is a new creation. Old things have done what? Passed away. Behold, look, gaze. All things have become new. Why? Because you and I have been brought into a different realm. So since I have been brought into a different realm, the realm of the Spirit of God, why do I act like I'm unregenerate? Why do I act crazy? May I say it like that? When we were younger, we would talk about something. We didn't talk ugly and nasty. But we talked about those old preachers. We'd say, they'll tell you anything. They'll say anything. They'll tell you anything. But maybe that's what I've become. But it makes no sense. It makes no sense at all, no spiritual sense for us to behave like we're in the world. We can't sing Zion songs, when we come to church and fight all day and all night. It's not possible. It's not possible. We can't sing Zion songs and lift our hands to Jesus, but want to tell Jesus what he ought to be doing now. That's totally wrong. That's not the church Jesus died for. Let's walk this thing out. Let's walk this thing out. Because so many of us have been influenced more by culture than Christ. And so that's not good either. You know, I'm saved. I'm different now, and I'm saved to make a difference. Amen. I'm saved to make a difference. Amen. All right? Are we okay?
Yes,
okay. Let's look at the demands of the cross, the more demands of the cross. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 to 39. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Says, he who loves father or mother more than me, this is Jesus, is not worthy of me. No, this is so big because this is the lowly Jesus, the humble Jesus, the beautiful Jesus. But he is now, he has a green light, as it were, from God the Father to say these things. He says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That the cross demands this. It doesn't request it. It demands it. It doesn't matter how you feel. You know, well, I don't think Jesus would say that. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He said that. He says, you're not worthy of him if you put anybody in front of him. Jesus has done more for you and me than our parents ever could do. Not that they wouldn't do all they could, but they don't even know the can yet. They don't know. They didn't know. They didn't have the ability to know these things. So Jesus says, you're not worthy of. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Let me elaborate a little bit on that. I'm not a bashing kind of a person. I give people a room to grow. My wife has a saying, when you buy children clothes, grow in children clothes, you buy them a little bit loose so that, because they're going to grow into them. They'll grow into them. So she said, we need to give people room to grow, room to grow. I don't bash people. I did a series, you know, the series we did in Romans last year, and somebody wrote me. And the community wrote me and sent an offering, and they said it must have taken a lot to be bold enough to speak the truth like you have done. And by the way, the offering went to the church. But anyway, so in case any of y'all. So what happened was this person said, you dealt with heterosexual sin and homosexual sins. You dealt with all of it. And so that's the thing. It's not that we are now decided, okay, let's pick on all the homosexual people. Let's pick on those who are gripped by that ugly sin. And let's just bash them, but we let the heterosexuals go. No. So, but in the same vein, and I don't do that. I don't play those favors. But in the same vein, if you have a child that is errant, they may say, this is the way I feel. Come on. Have you ever felt like punching somebody? Do you do everything you feel? Well, this is the way I feel. This is the way I feel. No, what does feeling have to do with? It has to do with righteousness. So I'm not bashing them, but I am going to speak the truth about it. If you love them so much that you're going to follow them down the aisle when they do the same sex thing, that's wrong. That's just wrong. It's just wrong. Maybe I'm hated for that, but that's wrong. And I'm not going to even applaud my heterosexual child that's sinning and doing all crazy stuff. I'm not going to follow them either. Oh, you still with me? There's a righteous standard that God wants. The cross demands it. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So live the life that God has given you. Live the life that is before you. Walk the path that God has given you to walk. Yeah. Yeah. So he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He's antithetical to the world. Polar opposite. He who finds his life will lose it. You think you're doing well because you've sold a lot of books? And now you can live like a movie star preacher? I don't have anything to do with good living. I'm just talking to y'all. I'm talking to y'all. Look here. He who finds his life will lose it. You think you found something now that you can live in opulence? You know, he'll lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So the billionaire is not better off than the pauper who knows Jesus. Amen. Okay, let me do this, and then we'll end with these scriptures here. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 26, I won't read them all. In verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or they say you're one of the prophets." And so Jesus wanted to know what were the people saying, but then he asked, "But who do you say that I am?" So it's not so much what the church says about, the world says about Jesus. Who do you say he is? How are you walking out this life? Are you expecting his return? What if it were before midnight? Are you ready? Have you lived before the Lord from the edicts of the Bible? Or have you done it from the edicts of culture? That's a tough question that we must answer. Listen to what he says. So he says, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter, the friend that we all want. He answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's big. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter, for all of his faults, had been talking to God. He says, flesh and blood cannot reveal the things that you and I know and the things that we are required by God to walk in and to submit to the demands of the cross. Let's submit to the demands of the cross. Come out from among them and be separate. I'm not saying don't have friends that are worldly. I got a bunch of them. And they know who I am. And they don't tell me dirty jokes anymore. Not because I'm a pastor, because some pastors listen. But because I always demanded equal time. If they don't want me to pray right there in the grocery store, don't talk to me. On the street corner. Why? He says, this is revealed by God the Father to Peter. And then he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter. Now, Peter found out who he was when he knew who Jesus was. You never really know who you are if you're not following him 100%. And don't feel sorry for yourself and say, well, I'm trying. I don't know what that preacher. No. No, just keep going. I tell you about my life only not because I want to demean myself. I don't tell you because I want you to think that I'm some stumble bum. That's not why. I tell you because I want you to know I'm like you. And if God can do something in and through me, he can do it in and through you. That's all I'm saying. I don't tell you because I want to say, oh, look at him. I eat, spiritual Cheerios. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Because I too am afraid. I'm afraid at times. But the difference between some of us, we are afraid and we stop. Others of us are afraid and we keep going. Yeah. Just put your hand in the Lord's hand, and he will take you to places your humanity fears to go. And sometimes your humanity is screaming, this is not God, and it is God. And you walk it out. Why? Because you have the strength of Christ, you have the demands of his cross. He says, and I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, now listen, contrary to popular belief, Peter is not the rock. Peter is the piece of the rock. But so are you. So are you. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus is that stone, that rock. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That is the promise of the Lord. And this last day's church is going to understand it more clearly than any generation, perhaps except the first century. We will know that we know that we know that the gates of hell cannot, shall not, will not prevail against you. So whatever you're going through, you're going to get through it. And then lastly says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, I don't think this was exclusively Peter. You and I have keys too. You know, it would be crazy if you, a father and husband, you have keys to the house, but your wife and your children can't get in. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so I think that that's what we ought to be doing from this moment on. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thank you.